would be fantastic.
We are out of time. Today's show produced by me, that's Margaret Prescott. I'd also like to thank assistant producer Ramiro Fudes, also on the ground working hard in Washington, D.C., and our engineer, Mr. T. Teddy Robinson. If you'd like a copy of today's show, please contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230 or go online to pacificaradioarchives.org. I did forget, and I'm going to do it right now, to give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners. And today we want to give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners in the state of Mississippi. And internationally, we would like to give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners in Thailand. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Margaret Prescott.
Right forward, and we're going to let them hear what we're doing here. All right. Here we go. Well, I went down to the Congress and I took back what they stole from me. I took back
my dignity.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring a morning news and public affairs director, as well as an evening news and public affairs director, to manage the news and public affairs programming. For these two full-time positions, we're looking for people with proven experience in audio production, management, and supervisory skills with volunteers, with an emphasis on teamwork in a collaborative setting, and the ability to work under strict deadlines. KBOO Community Radio is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. The deadline to apply for both of these positions is Monday, July 1st at midnight. More information can be found at kboo.fm/employment.
This is KBOO Portland. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Portland State University Hatfield School of Government, offering a master's degree in public administration for those who want to create efficient and inclusive cities, government agencies, and nonprofits. More information online at pdx.edu/Hatfield School. And now stay tuned for Veterans Voice.
Yes.
Rogers and Nixon's coming. We're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming. Forget in Ohio. Forget in Ohio. Forget in Ohio. Forget in Ohio. I'm in Ohio. I'm an
Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in the Portland-Vancouver area, 104.3 FM in the Willamette Valley, and 91.9 FM in the Columbia River Gorge, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. You can also hear older shows at kboo.fm / Veterans Voice. I'm I'm Marvin, and Tammy, our usually engineer, is on vacation. So Liam's been nice enough to stay and engineer our show now. So we're going to play... Here we go. We're going to play another song.
When the greatest warriors are
Molly Near, and I think that song is appropriate right now with what's going on in the world. This fool in the White House has no idea what's going to happen if he attacks Iran. He just has no idea. I started the show with Ohio because of my good buddy Joe Lewis. You know, he's such a good man, and he does so much good work around the Kent State shootings. He in May 4th, 1970, he was a student there, and he was shot by the Ohio National Guard along with 8 other people, and 4 young students were killed. My brother-in-law Jeff Browning came up and spent time with me, and he's the brother of my late wife Laurel, and he's started a podcast called Break the Arc, I think it is, and he wanted to interview somebody about the war, and he wanted to interview me, and I thought, I think it would be better to somebody else, and so I thought of Joe, and I sent a message off real quick to him, and he answered right back, sure. And so Jeff and I drove out to his house. He lives out in the woods in Scappoose with his wife Lisa, and he was ready to go. And before we started doing the podcast, we sat around and talked and it had some iced tea and just talked to get so that Jeff could get to know Joe, and Joe got to get to know Jeff. And so we was talking, and I think this is the third hip replacement for Joe. When he was shot through the hip and through the ankle, and he walks with a cane, and he walks pretty slow, but he's still hanging in there, and he goes back to Kent State every year, and it's going to be the 50th anniversary of the shootings at Kent State University by the Ohio National Guard, and Joe will be going with Lisa back to Ohio for that. And Jeffrey started his podcast, and Joe started talking, and the more Joe talked, you could see how emotional it was to him, and that made me really emotional, and also Jeff, and Joe talked about what happened that day when the guard came onto their campus. They were having a protest. You know, Nixon had just sent the army into Cambodia, and the students, knew that was expanding the war, and they were having these rallies, and they brought the National Guard in, and who in the world would think that they would give those guys live ammunition? They had bayonets, and they were stabbing at people. Some people got stabbed by the bayonets, but they had live ammunition. And so Joe said when the National Guard was going back up this hill, that they were following him, and he was kind of out in the front giving the finger when they turned and shot. Like I said, they hit Joe in the hip and in the ankle. He was down. My late friend Jim Russell, who also used to live out, I think he lived in St. Helens, and he passed away in 2007 from a heart attack. And he was kind of behind the National Guard, and the guy that shot him turned around and shot him with a shotgun, and it hit him in the face and in the legs. Then he probably turned back around. That's when they shot and killed 4 young students at Kent State University, you know? Are they going to kill more, you know, if this starts happening? You know, the cops are killing so many of our black brothers. When are they going to turn the guns on us for protesting about what's going on in this country? With this guy in office right now, he has no idea what's going on. He has no idea what his just saying certain words causes. You know, with him in the office, the right wingers have got really brave and they've came out right here in our city. They're here and they come out on our city and spew their filth, and they're met by brave citizens. Antifa's always there out front. The people of Portland are out in force against these fascist Nazi filth, you know. And they try to get, you know, brave and all this, and they get beat back, and it's just, you know, a battle going on in the streets. Trump just had his getting into the, he's going to, you know, run again. That's basically what it is. He's going to run again. And he only talks to his base. He never talks to anybody else. He always talks to that small base, you know. This man lost the popular vote by 3 million votes, so he's not talking to the American people. He's talking to a small group of people. And inside there, I think my nephew sent a picture, and it had people in the crowd holding up a sign saying Latinos vote for Trump, and they were white people holding the signs. It wasn't Hispanic people. It was white people holding the signs. And outside, there were these right-wingers were there. And they're saying that we have 1,000 people and we're going to do all this and do all that, you know, the Proud Boys and all of this. And the anti-Trump people were there, too. And when the right-wing fascist started going over to them, the police blocked them so they couldn't come together, because these guys are violent. Don't think they're not violent. They're very violent, and they're getting more violent with this guy in the White House. You know, like I've told you before, I know how these Nazis work, and I know how these Klansmen work. When I was in Greensboro, when they stopped their car and got their guns out of the trunk and started shooting people, and they got away with it, none of them went to jail. So we have to be, you know, stand up for our city, our state, and our country. And as things get worse and worse with this guy, I just hope this guy never ever gets reelected into the White House. He is gutting the most important things, the EPA and all of this, you know. The other day, the head of the EPA came out and said he's sending those people to Kansas City. And how can these, you know, they stood up and turned their backs on him, which I thought was pretty cool, you know, turning their backs on him. Oh, and this guy has got the whole world in an uproar, you know. Not only is it against Iran, it's also he's still messing with North Korea. He's also still with Venezuela, and he's also in the South China Sea. And I know that Iran is, you know, really hot and touchy right now, but so is the South China Sea. The South China Sea is really going to be, if they make one little mistake, you know, there's going to be a real problem there. China has built these islands. They've built these islands up and they militarized them. The other day, they flew four J-10s in there. I think they're J-10 Jets in there. And it's interesting because the Jets didn't have they carried these extra fuel tanks on them for long range, and they didn't have those on it. So that means they're going to stay within that area because they can fly 500 miles either way. And so they kept those on there. They built these, and they claimed these islands, and along with other countries claim, like Vietnam claims them, the Philippines claims them, Brunei claims them, Malaysia claims those islands, and China just said these are our islands, and the U.S. and I think France and England have been sending ships through that area. Because they're the Philippines. I don't know if I said the Philippines, but the Philippines do. And the Philippines are really. The other day, a ship hit a Filipino fishing ship, and took off and didn't get the sailors out, and another ship got them out. Okay. But the Philippines is saying that, they will protect their island against anybody, And what they were saying is that they will go against China. And and the Philippines has a mutual pact, the military pact, that says the Philippines is attacked, that the United States will back them. And that's very dangerous. With these ships, if they go close to these islands, China sends their ships out, and there's been really close calls between these ships. And if one of those ships, if they collide, or one ship fires on another ship, is going to be a problem. It's going to explode, and they're going there's going to be so much trouble. China has a pact with Russia, a military pact with Russia, or a pact of understanding with Russia. So they've been doing military maneuvers and training the two countries, and it seems like Russia will come in to help China if they're attacked. And I also believe that Russia has a pact with Iran. So that would be a real problem if this guy attacks Iran, that Russia will help Iran, and that'll be a real big problem, because he has sent ships into that area. He has sent he already has 1,000 troops there, and he sent I think 1,200 more troops there, and they're on edge. When Iran shut down that drone, and they claim it was in Iran's area, and the U.S. says no, it was in public airways. And so Trump said no big deal, and then he authorized the attack last night against Iran. And before they could do the attack, that he called them back. He told him to stand down, which is a good thing. But with Pompeo in there, Secretary of State Pompeo and John Bolton, those two guys are just the worst war hawks in the world. Bolton especially, that guy, he wants a war with everybody. But he had his chance to be in the war, and he didn't take it. He's my age, and he got these deferments, and he didn't go into the military. But he's willing to send our troops into a war, our pilots and our people in the ships and our grunts on the ground into battle. But when he had his chance, just like Donald Trump. Just like Donald Trump, he had his chance to be in the service and support his country, but he didn't do it. He got these deferments. And then when he ran out of deferments, he got a hilarious exemption at, you know, heel spurs, which was a minimal medical, where he could have enlisted and the military would have taken care of those. And he would have, since he was educated, had a college degree, he would have got a job anywhere, you know. He'd have been an accountant. He wouldn't have been, you know, on the front lines. He'd have been an accountant. And he may have not even gone to Vietnam. He may have gone to Germany, or he may have gone to one of those places, but he decided he, you know, that the war wasn't something he wanted to do. Like Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney did the same thing. So one of the things that back to the South China Sea. The fishing, there's great fishing in that area, which all the countries, Vietnam and Malaya and all of, and Brunei and all those do, they fish there. But also there's huge mineral deposits in the bottom of the South China Sea, which includes oil. And we know what America does to oil. You know, they fight wars over oil. We've seen it, you know, in Iraq. And Venezuela has lots of oil. But we haven't heard much about Venezuela, but it's not over down there yet. It's not over down there yet. And Russia, I believe Russia's been supplying Venezuela with medical and food and stuff, which is nice of them to do, because there's China has an embargo, and Russia, I believe, has an embargo. Iran has an embargo. Venezuela, I believe, has an embargo. So that's what they do. If a country that they want to go after, they'll embargo that country. And they'll beat it down and beat it down and beat it down. And here in this country, they'll be talking about, you know, that they work for Al-Qaeda. You know, they have all this really propaganda that they put out in American people. That's all they hear, unless they listen to different news agencies, which they don't. The American people don't do that. Look at Hong Kong. Geez, did you see how many people Hong Kong had in the streets? Over one thing. One thing they had in the streets. And here in this country, we're getting beaten down by these people in the White House and the people he's put in charge of the other departments. There's no department head in the Defense Department because the guy just quit. The original guy resigned, and then he put in a temporary guy, and that guy's quit the other day. So there's no heads of these departments. I guess that's, you know, that's the way he does business. That he, you know, that he controls it. He wants to control everything. He wants to control everything. And that's really dangerous. What's that called? It's called totalitarianism. You know, that's what he wants. He wants it to be totalitarian. He wants to have businesses do whatever they want. He wants the mines. He's trying to get rid of the wonderful things they had to protect the miners. He wants to open up lands for logging and for mining. And if there's nobody in the heads of those departments, you know, they do just whatever they want to do. And if there is a department head, secretary of whatever, he's appointed by Trump, and Trump will tell him what to do, you know, and they'll just gut everything. They'll gut everything. And they'll just, and what does that do? That just piles it on us. Piles it on us. And makes us, you know, what about our children? You know, what about our elderly? What are we going to do for them if he keeps cutting everything? You know, he just talked about privatizing the Social Security, which is a stupid thing to do. You know, it's just horrible. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland, Oregon. I'm Marvin, and I'm talking crazy stuff, but I think it's important that we think about that. We're going to play another song, and then I'll get back talking. We're going to play War. You got it? You got it up? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and start it.
To me. Oh, whoa. I despise, 'cause it means destruction of innocent lives. War means tears to thousands of mothers die when their sons go out to fight and lose their lives. I said, war, good God, y'all.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Never.
Get sad again. To me. To me.
Whoa.
It ain't nothing but a heartbreaker.
Whoa.
It's got one friend, that's the Undertaker. To me.
What?
It ain't nothing but a heartbreaker.
What?
Friend only to the Undertaker. Oh! Please love and understand and tell me, is there no place for the end of the day? They say we must fight to keep our freedom, but Lord knows there's got to be a better way. Oh!
What?
I think that's a pretty fitting song also with what's going on in Iran. And, you know, the one Holly Near sang. What's going on in this world right now has, you know, when they had the Trump was going to say, you know, about sending troops, the 1,200 troops, and what was going on there, that the people were really on edge here, thinking, you know, what do we, you know, we've been at war for 18 years. We still have troops in Afghanistan. We have troops in Syria. We have troops in Iraq. Last year, some soldiers got killed in Africa. You know, there are so many U.S. military bases surrounding Iran that is just, those people have got to be on edge with all the U.S. military bases around their country. China, Russia, the military has, I can't remember how many bases around the world, but it is pretty big. And all the money from the Pentagon, you know, takes away, when they put that much money into the Pentagon budget, if you add up China and Russia's and everybody else, I believe, they don't even come near to what we have in our military budget. When they take that money and put it in the military, it takes away from other things. You know, it takes away from the elderly. It takes away from our children. It takes away from health care for people here. And this is a rich country. We shouldn't have poverty in our country. When I was coming here today, I come Highway 26 and then over Cornelius Pass and hit 30 and then come into town that way. And I saw people sleeping in doorways, you know, sleeping in the park, trying to find a warm place to stay. With all this money, we should be able to take care of those people. You know, they're us. They're us. We need to take care of people. We know WIC, women's, infants, and children, should never have their budget cut. They take care of our children. There's just so many with this sucking, this big sucking sound you hear, that's taking all the money into the military with that huge overblown budget. What is it? $648 million, something like that. It's just huge. Huge. And Trump tried to use that to make up for not going in the military. You know, he said, you know, I'm, you know, making up for not being in the military by giving all this money to the military. You know, to anybody that's a vet, you know, hears that and thinks, you're full of it. You know, you're full of it. You just sucking all that money out and, you know, giving it to his buddies. How in the world can 1% of the population of 3 million people own half the money in this world? There's, you know, sometimes they come out with this trickle down theory, and that never works because those rich people have such a chokehold on that money that they're not going to let it go. The money only goes up, it doesn't come down. It doesn't come down. And the military budget is just inflated. Just inflated. I got this coming in, I was listening to KBOO and listening to Democracy Now, and they're talking to my brother Jeff. I just talked about his church group goes down to the border. They've been down to the border and have seen what's going on down there, and he said it's horrible what's going on down there. They have children in cages sleeping on the ground with just a thin piece of whatever it is covering them. They're not getting decent meals. They're not getting decent hygiene. They're not around their parents. Their food is horrible. They're not getting the food that they're used to eating. They're not getting any medical care. How many of those children have died coming across? How many people have died in the clutches of ICE? So many. We're not a country like that. We have sympathy, but not these people in charge. They don't have sympathy. They don't have sympathy at all. And there's no reason they should have the military down on that border at all. They shouldn't have them down there, but they do. They have them down there. And one of the things that just angers me is soldiers who went to Iraq, went to Afghanistan, put their life on the line. I don't support those wars. I didn't support them at all. But I really worry about these folks coming back, what's happening to them. These people who went into the military being promised they'd be made American citizens are being deported. They're being deported. They're not supposed to be deported. They're not supposed to be deported. And they deport them. They take them and put them right across that border, the Hispanic guys. And they're not supposed to do that. But they do it because there's nobody controlling possibly ICE, I don't know. But they're sending these veterans across the border. They deserve medical care through the VA system. How are they going to get that medical care when they're in Mexico? How are they supposed to get that care? Boy, if these people don't join the peace movement after, you know, if they get to come back, I don't know who will. I don't know who will if these guys don't join it. They don't join Veterans for Peace or Iraqi Veterans Against the War and join and organize and organize and organize and organize and get more and more people into these organizations of veterans organizations to be on the front lines, to stand up in front of the police, protect the people. The military, when they take their oath of office, they swear to support the Constitution of all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I don't feel that what this guy in the White House is doing is constitutionally right. I really don't believe that. I was watching a show on TV, and they were flying the flag and all that. And I thought, you know, the ship that was going, you know, in the ocean, they were going to sink and all that, and they turned their flag upside down, which means they're in trouble, that they need help. That's what we should do with our flag, with the American flag. We should turn it upside down because this country is in peril. We are in peril. All around the world, we're causing trouble. All the way around the world. We're kicking veterans out of this country. We're not taking care of the children that are coming into this country. They said they do not have to give those children a bed. They do not have to give them soap. They don't have to give them toothpaste. Is that how we're becoming as a country? As a country? I don't think so. I was up at the VA. This is another thing. I was at a store on Cornelius Pass, and there was a young veteran there, and both of his legs had been blown off, and he was walking on those springs, and I saw he had this tattoo on his arm that showed who he was with. And I asked him how he was doing, and we talked a little bit. And I'm really, really glad to see those folks who have been really hurt in Vietnam physically. They're getting out in the public and just living, trying to live a normal life. And here he is. Both of his legs were blown off. And he's out there, you know, being, trying to be as normal as he can. And I noticed that people would look over at him and then turn their heads away. You know, like that song I play sometimes, Gallipoli, when the soldiers from the Battle of Gallipoli come home that have been really wounded. He said that the people are at the, to meet the boat, and when they bring the wounded, the maimed, the insane off the boat, the people turn their heads away. They don't want to see that. They didn't want to see what really war is about, where people get blown apart, where you're killed, where your buddies are killed. They don't want to see that part of it. They want to see the flag waving, the drum beating, and everything. That's what they wanted to see. They didn't want to see these people coming back like that. You know, that's why Bush W. wouldn't let people go to Dover to see the soldiers coming home and the Marines and the airmen coming home and the Navy troops coming home in boxes covered with an American flag. He didn't want the people to see that. The news people wouldn't have war in Vietnam. They saw the body bags coming home. They saw the coffins with American flags on it. They saw the war on the news every night. But we don't now. You know, we cannot let wars become common, a common occurrence. We just can't do that. You know, that's like the old Holy Roman Empire sending his troops around that area, you know. The people of America are good people. We don't deserve a government like Trump's has got us into. We don't deserve that. He lost by 3 million votes. He's not the leader of the majority of Americans. He lost by 3 million votes. I just got a text from Angie, and Angie's doing great up there. You know, she's hanging in there and working and carrying on like she likes to do. She just sent me this veterans work to reverse transgender military ban, where they, you know, where Trump and his cohorts in there ban transgender people. If transgender people want to be in the military, you know, more power to them. I wish they wouldn't go in the military, but if they're going to go in the military, they have a right to go if they want to go. And that's, you know, banning transgender people is to me is just a slap in the face of the gay rights movement in this country, LGBTQ people in this country. I have lots of friends that are gay. Great people, caring people, loving people. And this is a slap in their face. We can't let that happen. You know, I wish they wouldn't go. I really wish they wouldn't go into the military. But if they want to go in, they have a right to go in. I just wish they wouldn't. I just wish they wouldn't. You know, Angie and I have talked about what happens to women and men in the military. There's a lot of rape and sexual harassment of both men and women in the military. We did a show on males being raped in the military. We've talked and did a show on the female sisters, our sisters going into the military and being sexually harassed and raped in the military. It was really interesting. I read a story the other day about a general being relieved of his command because he was mean. He treated the people who worked in his offices as basically, you know, go get me coffee, do this, do that. And if things weren't the way he wanted, he screamed and hollered at them. and he was relieved of his command, which is really interesting because he was a Marine. You know, he was a Marine. He got relieved of his command. And now they're having this trial for the Green Berets for killing a wounded and murdering a wounded Iraqi. I believe it was a Iraqi boy, and he was wounded in one of the special forces guys stabbed him with a knife, he was going on trial for war crimes, and he had done other things besides that, but this was one that was in the news. But yesterday or the day before, a medic in the same unit, he said that he killed the boy by suffocating him because he said that it was a mercy killing, because if he was given to the Iraqi forces, they would have tortured him and killed him anyway. So he became God and he killed this young man. He took it upon himself to kill this young guy who was already really hurt. So, you know, that's not a good thing. The other day, I was going through some stuff on the military. I always go through this military and see what craziness is coming out of the military. And I came upon this. It was on one of their web pages. And U.S. hints it could use nuclear weapons to create a decisive result. They were talking about using nuclear bombs. They talked about using nuclear bombs in Korea. They talked about using nuclear bombs in Vietnam. And now they're hinting that they could use nuclear weapons to make a decisive result. But that was quickly taken down from their webpage, it says. It was deleted from their webpage. So here they are. Not only are they sending these troops to Iraq, but they're hinting that they could use the nuclear weapon. That is just beyond the pale, isn't it? Who in their right mind would even think of that? You know, they've came up with, well, we'll use these small nuclear weapons that just get what we're after. Well, that thing lets off all kinds of stuff. People die of radiation poisoning. They're maimed by radiation poisoning. And these bombs that they're talking about using, tactical nuclear weapons, would definitely not just get what they're looking for. It would spread out. Look what happened when they used the depleted uranium in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they still use it. These troops coming home from those wars, contaminated with this stuff. You think about it and wonder what has become of our country. On election day, everything changed. Everything changed. The whole government changed. The people of the world think less of us than they used to think. He has hollered and did things and said things that other leaders of the world would never say. Trudeau was just here. And what in the world did he say there to Trudeau? The president of Mexico is making all, trying to keep sanity within his country because of Trump and the border. And they've sent troops down to their southern border. But that's not going to stop people from coming in. Those people are in trouble down there. They really are. They're running for their lives. They're running for their lives. And Trump wants to take money away from those countries to help those people in Guatemala, El Salvador, those countries that need the help. But he wants to take money away from them. Those people are running for their lives. They have every right to come into this country and seek asylum. And when we put them in their children in cages and we send them back to northern Mexico, where they're being taken advantage of by the gangs in that area. Already two young women were murdered already that had been sent back. Boy, would you like to be sent back to El Salvador with those gangs they have there? Boy, those gangs are well-trained gangs because they came from here and were deported back to El Salvador. We have blood on our hands all around the world. We really do. And we're a good country. We need to be out in the streets. There needs to be millions of us. If Hong Kong can do it, we can do it. We need to make our peace movement, our anti-government movement so huge that they understand that we're not going to put up with this anymore. Portland gets out when there's something that we don't like. You know what George H.W. Bush called us? Little Beirut. He called us Little Beirut because we were standing up for what we believed in. And what we believe in is fairness, equality, and justice. We're not a country that puts children in cages. We're not a country that does that. We're a good country. We should be out in the streets. There should be millions of us out in the streets. This government that we have right now is horrid. Horrid country that sends our troops around the world and tries to attack other countries. You know, I'm talking about Iran right now. We attacked Afghanistan. We're in Israel. We're in Iraq. We're starting this trouble in South China Sea, where China's not trying to stop the flow of goods through that area. They've never said they're going to stop the troops through that area. And we've got troops in that area. People think around the world think that we're a military state, that we're not speaking up and telling our government to stop doing what they're doing, and that is wrong. We have to get out in the streets. We have to organize. Today at 12 o'clock down at Terry Shrink Park, there's a climate crisis rally going to take place. The women were on Teresa's show. We'll be back on July 19th at 9 a.m., and there it is.
Tune in to KBOO on July 4th through the 7th for a live broadcast from the 32nd Annual Waterfront Blues Festival. We'll start the broadcast from the Waterfront Blues Festival on Thursday, July 4th at noon, and broadcast the fest every day from noon through 10 p.m. Again, that's the Waterfront Blues Festival, the largest celebration of blues, soul, funk, and rhythm and blues west of the Mississippi, July 4th through the 7th from noon to 10 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This is KBOO Portland.
My name is Suzanne LeGrand, and today I'm talking with Jerry Mintz, who is the founder of the Alternative Education Resource Organization, or ARRO. To start, could you tell me a little bit about Aero? What do you do exactly?
We started Aero 30 years ago, and it is the main networker of educational alternatives around the world. Our mission is the education revolution, to make learner-centered education available for students everywhere. Now, there are some people that do okay in the current system, but we want to make these alternatives available. And if they are, and if they are effective, we expect them to grow. And so this is what we advocate. We're just a small nonprofit, but we've had a pretty good influence. For example, when we started, homeschooling was just starting, and I think we've had something to do with developing it. So we're a nonprofit, and what we do is we coordinate educational alternatives, and we also help people start new ones. We help people find them and network between them. So these are some of the kinds of things we do. Basically, when I say educational alternatives, our